Today's scripture reading will be coming out of Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for that joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking a beautiful pearl, beautiful pearls, who when had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast out into the sea and gathered some of every kind. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and they sat down, gathered the good into vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast into the furnace the fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old."
What a blessing it is to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth, but also to encourage one another in the most holy faith. When we consider today's sermon, the idea that we want to get across, for the last few weeks, we have been talking about sayings of Jesus. And on this morning, I want us to look at Matthew 13, because there are some powerful sayings in Matthew 13. We're going to be lifting our thoughts from verse number 52, but we're going to work our way there. And the reason why we're going to work our way there, because the things in which Jesus tells his disciples are vitally important for the kingdom of God. I do want to say from the onset that if you are a member of the Lord's church, if you are a member of the church of Christ, you are vitally important to the kingdom and the work of God. Every last one of us are important. And the reason why is because there is a world out there that God wants to affect. There's a world out there in which God wants to influence, and he wants us to be an influence for good. The first 9 verses of chapter 13, we find the parable of the sower. We see 4 attitudes, if you will, 4 types of ground. We see the first one in verse number 4, the wayside ground. The second one in verse number 5, the stony ground. The next one in verse number 7, the thorny ground, and then the last one, the good ground. Now, notice those 4 different grounds that we see: wayside, stony, thorny, and good ground. Every last person on the face of the earth fit in 1 or 4 of those places. Even in this building on this morning, all of us fit somewhere in 1 or 4 of these particular situations. In verses 10 through 16, we see the reason for parables. And we see in verse number 11 that Jesus answers them and says, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries, that which was hidden but now revealed." God has revealed his will to mankind through the word, through the apostles, through the Holy Spirit. He has given us his word, but here we see that these things have been revealed. The hidden things, if you will. But if you drop down to verse number 16, notice the compliment that Jesus gives to his disciples. And the reason why I say compliment, because he gives them assurance. "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets," and you can put in your Bibles 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 there, "and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear." At that particular time, the plan was not revealed. But God was slowly revealing his plan. Why? Because he was warning mankind to understand what he was doing. In verses 18 through 23, we see the parable of the sower explained. You go back and you read all of that on your own time, but here Jesus, if we're going to listen to anyone, we're going to listen to the words of Christ. Jesus explains this particular parable. He's talking to his disciples, talking to the multitude. All of them are there at the same time. But then notice verses 24 through verse 30. Here he gives a parable concerning the wheat and the tares. And it's interesting that when we consider this particular parable, he explains this particular parable in verses 36 through verse number 43. You go back and you read that, and we're going to be taking a look at some of these during the next couple of weeks as it relates to the sayings of Jesus. But here, he gives them a great outline of what's taking place concerning the wheat and the tares. But then notice verse number 28. And friends, this is the problem. An enemy has sown tares among the wheat. We know that this enemy is the devil, according to verse 39. Friends, the devil is still sowing tares among God's wheat. In verses 31 and 32, we find the parable of the mustard seed. Here, we see that the idea in every parable, friends, has one specific teaching. Now, you can make great application. You can take your applications to a certain extent, of course, but it has one particular teaching. And the teaching of Matthew, or verses 31 through 32, is that the church, the kingdom of God, will be a benefit to all who desire to take part in her. But then, verses 34 and 35, we see prophecies and parables explained. You go back and you look at that, friends, and you'll be very blessed to see some of the things that you find in there. Verses 36 to 43, as we said before, we see that the parable of the tares are explained by Jesus. But this is where I want us to take our lesson from. Verses 44 through the end of the chapter. The reason why I want us to take notice of this, we see some things. Three times in verse number 44, 45 and 47, you see the word again. Now, before, you see another parable, another parable, another parable, before this particular situation. But now we see again, again, and again. Jesus is driving home a point, and he's driving it home with his disciples. Now, we know he's not talking to the multitude because of verse 36. Look at verse number 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. This is still the same vein, the same line of thinking. I want us to keep that in mind as he is talking to his disciples, and he talks about three particular things concerning the kingdom of heaven. But what is this kingdom of heaven? Before we go any further, I want us to notice a few things. Five sections of scripture before we go any further in this particular parable. Number one, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, we notice that the parable and the church are used simultaneously or in the same idea, if you will. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I'm going to give you the key to the kingdom, which means that the kingdom and the church are the same thing. The same group of people, and in order for there to be a kingdom, there must be someone to rule over it. Every kingdom must have a king. If a kingdom doesn't have a king, or if a man calls himself a king but he doesn't have a kingdom, he's just a man taking a walk. Jesus is a king. We see another passage in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12. Here, Philip is preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, which means that he's preaching about the territory in which Jesus Christ is ruled. He's the ruler of it. But then you go from there and you can look at Romans chapter 14, verses 17 through verse number 19. We notice here that the Apostle Paul speaks by inspiration, and he teaches us what the kingdom of God is all about. The kingdom of God is not about food, it's not about drink, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is God's people are supposed to be about? They're supposed to be about righteousness, about peace, about joy. We understand that is even further explained as it relates to what is the kingdom of God about. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, if you continue to follow, notice what your Bible there has to say. Because you have to be translated into this group of people. You have to be translated under the rule of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, notice he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Which means that the power of darkness and the kingdom of God must be two different places, and we ourselves must be a people who are part of the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of darkness. But then, let me show you another passage. In Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse number 8. Notice what your Bible there has to say. In Revelation chapter 1, starting at verse number, matter of fact, go to verse number 9. I, John, your brother. Now notice John, who is the one in whom Christ loved. He is the one that leaned upon his bosom. He had a close relationship with Jesus Christ. And notice where he says, I'm your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom. So whatever John is talking about, he was in it. He was in that group of people who had been called out of darkness. He was in that group of people who were about righteousness, peace, and joy. He was part of those people who were members of the church, which is the kingdom. Now go back to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is talking about the kingdom. Talking about the kingdom of heaven. When you think of the word of, something belonging to. That group of people, those called out ones, the ones that are about righteousness, peace, and joy, the ones that have been called out of darkness, translated into the Son of his love, the one in whom John was a part of, those group of people, Jesus said, now the kingdom of heaven is like. He's like. It's like what? Notice. It's like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Number one, we see that whoever this individual is, he's just stumbled upon the kingdom. He just stumbled upon it. He stumbled upon a group of people, Brother Braswell, that have been called out of darkness. He stumbled upon a group of people who are about righteousness, joy, and peace. He stumbled upon a group of people who are about doing the will of God from the heart, making sure that they uphold the king's writings, will, commandments. He stumbled upon those people, and it was so important for him to lose his identity with what he owned before that he was willing to sell everything that he had and go identify with that particular people. Now, question. Are we that type of people that people just stumble upon and say, I like what they have to say because it lines up with what the scriptures say? This particular person was in this field. He saw this treasure. He said, this is more valuable than what I have in all of my treasures, in all of my possessions. I'm going to go sell it all. I'm going to go buy this field. I'm going to be a landowner. I'm going to get the treasure, and then I'm going to be identified with the land and the treasure that's on it. Isn't it interesting that some people stumble upon the truth? When are you looking for it? They just so happen to meet someone on the job, possibly one of us. They just so happen to see us in a grocery store having a bad day. Next thing you know, you run into them with your cart. And the next thing you know, you strike up a conversation, exchange phone numbers. You're having a Bible study. They go down in the water. They have the sins washed away. Just stumbled upon the truth. They just stumbled upon it. Stumbled upon the kingdom. Which teaches us that we as the kingdom of God, the church of our Lord, church of Christ, should always keep ourselves in a position to help people. Why? Because we're all about righteousness, peace, and joy. But then notice the next individual. The next individual is actually looking for this group of people. There are some people out in the denominational world today who are actually looking for truth. They're looking for the right way. They're looking to do that which is right, yet they can't seem to find it. I've met those people. I've seen those type of people baptized into Christ saying, I've been looking for the truth for 40 years. I've been looking for truth all my life. I finally found it and I ain't going back to it. Notice the text. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. This is a tradesman. This is a businessman. He is intentional in what he's trying to do. And notice what he's doing. He's seeking, meaning that he is intentionally looking for that which is valuable. This merchant is seeking beautiful pearls, that which is of a great value, who when he had found, and the word there literally means he comes upon it after seeking very diligently, he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. Can you imagine finding one particular pearl? And it is so valuable to you that you're willing to not identify with all of your possessions, that you may identify with this one pearl. Jesus is saying that the church, the kingdom of God, is that pearl. And are you willing to sell everything that you have? Yes, you are, because you're looking for that pearl. Question. Did you grow up in the church? Are you still looking as diligent as you have been taught to look? That's a good question. That's a great question. Sometimes it seems as if those who are outside are looking for that pearl more than those who have been taught the pearl themselves. What a blessing it is to have grown up in the Lord's church, to have seen the beautiful and the bountiful blessings that God has bestowed upon you, regardless of what may have come to your life, regardless of the tragedy and the tribulations and the problems that may have come, what a value it is to know that you have this pearl, that you're part of this kingdom, if you will. But notice this, friends. We see something very powerful in this particular text, because when you consider a merchant, he's looking to make profit. This man was willing to sell all that he had because he understood what I'm about to buy is going to be more beneficial than what I have. And he's intentionally looking for it. I wonder what people are looking for today. Notice the next one. Here, Jesus, he shifts his thoughts. Now is not about the one who stumbles upon the kingdom. Now it's not about the one who is intentionally looking for the kingdom. Now it's about the kingdom herself and the opportunities that the kingdom gives to those who are on the outside of it. That's good teaching right there. Y'all smile. Come on now. I guess maybe I've just been dwelling on it all week. It's just powerful to think about this. Notice, the kingdom of God is an equal opportunity place in scope. Notice, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, literally a netted rope that was cast. The word cast there literally means to throw out, not caring where it goes. We're not using a particular bait trying to catch bass or redfish or snapper or perch. We're not trying to catch a particular type fish. This particular net, he just throws it into the sea, not caring what it catches. He's just trying to catch fish. The kingdom of God are a people of equal opportunity in its scope, because we don't care what the people look like. We don't care what they've been through. We don't care what they're going through. We just want them to be helped by the gospel. Wow. Notice what Jesus says this kingdom of God is, this group of people. And notice what he says. And gather, meaning that he collects them, he assembles them of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. Now he's dealing with the judgment scene. And sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. Now, I want us to take notice of this before we just run past this. You see the word cast in verse number 47, and then you see the word throw in verse number 48. Same word in the original language. But you have one that is on the positive before judgment, and then you have the other one which is on the negative after the judgment. The question is this. Are we the people of God, the kingdom of God, those who have been called out of darkness, those who are about righteousness, peace, and joy, are we going to be the ones that's going to cast ourselves out there that people can see our good works and glorify God which is in heaven, or not cast ourselves out there and then people die in their sins and cast into the lake of fire? Jesus is teaching a very powerful point, but he's not talking to the multitude, friends. He's talking to his disciples now. He has brought this scope in to the ones in whom are supposed to be carrying the message out. Drop down to verse number 51. This is where our lesson began. Oh, that was introductory material. Notice, Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" What a great question. They said, "Yea, Lord, we understand everything you just said." Now notice, then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe, every scholar of the old covenant, every person that is instructed in righteousness, every individual who calls himself a teacher," notice how Jesus changes the focal point. He talks about the scribe, the one that was responsible for copying the law, the one that was responsible for actually teaching what was copied. He was responsible for that. But notice what he says. Every scribe instructed towards the kingdom of heaven. Your version may say concerning, the Greek word eis, same word, repent and be baptized. For, eis, towards. Notice this. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder, the master of the house, who brings out, the word there literally means to draw out like drawing water out of a well. You have a source that's at the bottom of the well, and you use your bucket, and you drop it down into the water, and you bring the water up to you so you can use it for consumption or for whatever purpose you need. Here, we see that Jesus is saying that every scribe, he is the one that is going to be bringing up out of his treasure. What treasure? Wealth, words, ideas, thoughts. These are our ideas. These are our thoughts. This is what we're supposed to be speaking on right here. Friends, we live in a world today where people don't mind giving you their opinion. Who cares? It's like a belly button. Everyone got one. You got folk that want to show those, this, and you got some that don't. I'll let you take that home and think about that for a second. That's a good old modesty part right there. Just threw that in there, didn't I? But everyone has one! But when it comes to the word of God, we need to draw from the well that God has given us. But keep in mind, in order for us to go down into the well and get out the treasure, we have to go down into the well of the word and allow the word of God to spring us up into everlasting life. John 4. Notice what the text says. Things new and old. Hold on. Today's lesson title is drawing out the wealth, fresh and ancient. Jesus wanted his disciples to make sure that they drew out from the well of knowledge that was given unto them. Of course, they were inspired, but they were still charged to read. We're aspiring, charged to read and understand God's word. And the more that we delve into God's wealth, the more that we delve into the well, the more that we delve into God's treasure, we're going to come up and we're going to be able to give people that which is fresh and that which is ancient. Question. You ever wonder why people can only tell you what's been told to them? Because they haven't went and studied it for themselves. God has commanded us to study to show ourselves approved. Jesus told those religious leaders in John 5:39, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. Friends, God wants us to be a people that we can help other people. And the Lord's church is in a very valuable position right now. Why? We got people out there looking for answers for life. You work with them. You go to the store with them. You see them at the gym. You see them wherever you go. And a lot of times our issue is not what we know, but we're afraid to say something because we don't want to say that which is wrong. Friends, the more you study, pray, meditate, and think about how you're going to help people get out of their situation or answer their questions and help them to have a greater understanding of God's will, you have to have that understanding, which means that all of us ought to do our level best to be the best scribe that we can be for the Lord. Not just the preachers and elders, not just the deacons, not just those who are teaching, but all of us. College kids, y'all need to get into the Word of God. It's all right to go to college and learn some of the things that these quacks are teaching you, but you ought to go to the real doctor and learn the Word of God. Grandparents, you ought to be continuing learning God's Word. Why? So you can help your children, bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So you can be that older one that's teaching the younger one. But younger, you need to keep yourself in a position that you want to learn from the older because they have involved themselves in the Word. They have involved themselves in life experiences. And we don't know it all, so we need to go to those who may know a little bit more than us. Friends, you never know who's looking for answers. And here is Jesus in one of his sayings, and he just breaks down the kingdom of God to his disciples, apostles, and he tells them the kingdom of God is like someone who stumbles upon it. The kingdom of God is like someone who is looking for it. And the kingdom of God is that place where they're trying to grab everybody they can because they know one day there's going to be a day of judgment. Question. What are we doing? Are we affecting change in the lives of people for the better? Are we putting ourselves in a position where God can get the glory? Or are we like that individual in with the parable of the sower? Because of this world and because of the deceitfulness of riches, it has choked the word and we have become unfruitful. I give you this point. I sent my notes. Consider this. God wants us to be a people who are living our lives to produce fruit, whether 100, 60, or 30. Doesn't matter. We're going to produce fruit in the realm that we are working in. If I become unfruitful, life means absolutely nothing when it comes to the spiritual realm. Am I producing fruit for God? Or am I looking for glory myself? I think about this and I see the power of what Jesus is teaching, and we're going to deal with this on next week as it relates to the parable of the sower. How much work are we putting into our spiritual lives that we can honestly say, I want someone else to benefit from my life and give God the glory. Not so people can see me, but that people can see God. So if you're breathing, and y'all are, hopefully, you don't retire from Christianity. I know we buy our RVs and stuff like that, and that's fine. You can travel all you want to, but travel with the gospel. You don't take a break from Christianity. You're always trying to bring someone closer to Christ, whether they are outside or inside. You want to enhance their lives. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. If you're young and you're building your family, teach your children that life is about producing fruit for God. If you seek first the kingdom of God, He'll add those things to you. So all of us are in there somewhere. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Are we doing God's will? Are we producing fruit? Are we living the life? If you're not a child of God, we want you to think about that. Repentance, faith, repentance, and baptism puts you in Christ. It puts you in the kingdom of God. It puts you in that territory where Christ rules. Don't you want to be under his rule? All, every knee is going to bow one day, confess him to be Lord, confess to God that he is Lord. Oh, that's going to happen. But you would rather confess on this time side than to be compelled because of his glory to confess him later just to be lost. But maybe you're a child of God and you're not producing fruit. We need to be producing fruit. We need to be doing the will of God. We need to stay on the straight and narrow. I know we get caught up in our own lives, but let's see what God wants and let's stay in tune with what God wants as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.